Welcome to our paranormal afterlife. This is an episode of Paranormal Stories. In this episode, I'm talking about terminal lucidity. Terminal lucidity is a well-documented but still poorly understood phenomenon that occurs near the end of life. It refers to the sudden return of clear thinking, memory, communication, and personal awareness in people who were previously unable to show these abilities because of severe brain disease or injury. This can happen hours or days before death. It has been reported in people with advanced Alzheimer's disease, other dementias, long-term schizophrenia, brain tumours, strokes, and serious head injuries. What makes terminal lucidity important is that it occurs in people whose brains are widely believed to be physically incapable of producing normal consciousness. In many cases, large areas of the brain are damaged or destroyed. Memory, language, and recognition have been absent for years. Under the common view that the brain generates consciousness, these abilities should not be able to return, yet in terminal lucidity, they do. This has led some researchers and clinicians to consider a different model of consciousness. Instead of seeing the brain as the generator of consciousness, this model treats the brain as a receiver or filter. According to this view, consciousness exists independently, and the brain allows it to be expressed in the physical world. When the brain is damaged, expression becomes limited or distorted, and when the brain's normal control systems weaken near death, expression can improve. This idea is supported by a growing body of work from end-of-life researchers. One of the most important contributors is Christopher Kerr, a doctor who has worked for decades in hospice care. Kerr is best known for his large studies of dreams and visions reported by dying patients. While his research does not focus only on terminal lucidity, it strongly supports the idea that consciousness does not simply fade as the brain fails. Kerr and his team interviewed hundreds of patients over many years. They found that as people approached death, many reported vivid and structured experiences, often involving deceased relatives or meaningful past events. These experiences were not confused or random. Patients were usually calm and clear when describing them. Kerr found that these experiences increased as death came closer, even though the patient's physical condition and brain function were getting worse. Kerr also showed that these experiences were not caused by medication, lack of oxygen, or mental illness. They happened across different ages, cultures, and belief systems. Patients who had never believed in an afterlife reported similar experiences to those who had. This suggests that the experiences were not simply the result of expectation or imagination. These findings matter for terminal lucidity because they show the same pattern. Inner mental life becomes more organized and clear as the brain breaks down. Terminal lucidity shows this outwardly. Instead of just reporting clear experiences, the person suddenly speaks clearly, recognizes loved ones, and shows their usual personality again. One common case reported by hospice staff involves people with advanced Alzheimer's disease. In late-stage Alzheimer's, people often lose the ability to speak, recognize family members, or understand where they are. Brain scans usually show widespread loss of brain tissue. Recovery is not expected. Yet there are many cases where such a person becomes briefly clear shortly before death. For example, a woman with Alzheimer's who had not recognized her daughter for several years suddenly spoke her daughter's name, talked about shared memories, and said goodbye. She later died that same day. There was no medical explanation for the sudden return of memory and speech. The disease had not improved. The brain damage was still present. Under the receiver model, this makes sense. The consciousness of the person was still present, but the damaged brain usually could not express it. Near death, the brain's usual limitations changed, allowing expression for a short time. Similar cases have been recorded in people with long-term psychiatric illness. In the 19th and early 20th centuries, doctors working in mental hospitals described patients with severe schizophrenia or other disorders who had been confused or withdrawn for many years. Shortly before death, some of these patients became calm and rational. They held sensible conversations and showed insight into their lives and illness. After death, examinations of their brains often showed serious physical damage. These reports are important because they come from a time before modern psychiatric drugs existed. Medication cannot explain the change. Again, the brain did not recover. Something else changed. The work of Peter Fenwick adds further support. Fenwick studied brain disorders and epilepsy before turning his attention to end-of-life experiences. He collected reports from doctors, nurses, patients and families. Fenwick described many cases of terminal lucidity in people with dementia and brain injury. He argued that these cases could not be explained by standard brain-based models alone. Fenwick pointed out that memory appears to survive even when the brain areas normally linked to memory are badly damaged. In terminal lucidity, people often recall names, events, and relationships correctly after years of being unable to do so. If memory was stored only in brain tissue, this should not be possible. Fenwick suggested that the brain may limit access to memory rather than store it completely. Research on near-death experiences also supports this view. Bruce Grayson has studied thousands of people who had clear and organized experiences during times when their brains were severely impaired, such as during cardiac arrest. In cardiac arrest, blood flow to the brain stops and measurable brain activity quickly falls to very low levels. Many people later report detailed near-death experiences. Grayson has shown that these experiences are consistent across cultures and are not linked to mental illness or fantasy. Like terminal lucidity, they often involve clear thinking at a time when the brain should not be able to support it. Terminal lucidity differs from near-death experiences in that it can be observed by others. Family members and staff hear the person speak and see their behaviour change. This makes it especially important because it does not rely only on personal reports after recovery. It is witnessed directly. Another group of cases that support the receiver model involves people with severe physical brain abnormalities who function better than expected. There are documented cases of people with very little visible brain tissue who live normal lives. While rare, these cases show that consciousness and intelligence do not always depend directly on the amount of brain tissue present. Terminal lucidity shows the same pattern from the opposite direction. Even when brain damage is extreme and long-standing, consciousness can still appear intact when expression becomes possible. It is important to be clear about what this does and does not mean. The receiver model does not deny that the brain is important. Damage to the brain clearly affects thinking, memory, and behaviour. The brain is necessary for normal expression of consciousness in everyday life. However, necessity is not the same as production. A damaged radio cannot play music clearly, but that does not mean that the radio station is no longer transmitting. Likewise, damage to the brain may block expression without destroying consciousness itself. Terminal lucidity suggests that loss of awareness during illnesses can often be a loss of access, not a loss of existence. The person may still be conscious in a way that cannot be measured or expressed. When the brain's usual systems break down near death, that access may briefly return. Taken together, the work of Kerr, Fenwick, Grayson, and many clinicians points to a consistent pattern. As death approaches and the brain fails, consciousness does not always fade. In some cases, it becomes clearer. Terminal lucidity is one of the strongest examples of this pattern because it happens in people who were thought to have permanently lost their minds. If consciousness were only a product of the brain, terminal lucidity would be very hard to explain. If consciousness exists independently and the brain mainly limits and expresses it, terminal lucidity becomes understandable. It represents a short period in which expression becomes possible again before the brain stops working entirely. Today I was talking about terminal lucidity, and my book on verified near-death experiences is out now on Amazon, and you can get it on paperback, audiobook, or Kindle. And if you enjoy the podcast, please leave a review and be sure to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or via your favourite podcast app to make sure that you don't miss out on any episodes. And thanks for listening.